Welcome to Life Minute TV, your life, your minute on everything lifestyle. Celebrity buzz, music and movie news, fashion, beauty, home style, wellness, and more.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, of course. Am I supposed to see your face?
No, just a picture.
Okay.
You're not allowed to see me. So how are you doing today?
I'm good. I just got home from the coast last night. We celebrate solstice instead of Christmas, so...
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So hello, welcome to Life Minute. All right, so 20 years of 13 Tales. Wow. Tell us about that. How does it feel to be celebrating your anniversary?
I mean, all of any of these anniversaries that are, you know, 20 years plus is kind of mind-blowing. You know, it's one of those things where you can look at it and that time seems to have gone by in just a minute, and then you can look at it another way and it feels like an eternity.
Tell us about the performance. Like, how is it going to work and where is it going to be streamed and all that good stuff?
So what we did was, I mean, it's kind of tricky figuring out how to do something and include your drummer in Australia, right? That's been our big pickle for the pandemic, is how to keep creating together. And so when we realized we should really do something to celebrate the 20-year anniversary, and how do we do some type of streaming event, we came to the conclusion that we could do some Q&A, because that's easy. It's kind of like what we're doing now, right? And include Peter and Brent that way. And so we have about, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes of Q&A and talking back and forth. And then the big event is this concert that we did when we were celebrating the 13th anniversary of 13 Tales in 2013. And we, at the end of that world tour, we played at the Wonder Ballroom in Portland and decided that we had to film this concert for posterity. And we filmed it and never released it. And this is a trend with the Dandy Warhols, is to create content and then not quite put it out. So we have this wonderful concert. It's really cinematic. It's not just like watching a live concert from the audience. It's quite a unique experience visually as well. And so we thought, well, let's put this out for the first time, release it to the public for the 20-year anniversary. And that gives us something to celebrate, something to show everybody that they've never seen, and get as close to a live concert experience as we can.
Cool, cool. And can you share the website where people can log on to see it and when and everything?
Yeah, I know if you go to any of our socials, we're promoting the heck out of it, and there will be links.
And how have you guys been handling, you know, managing, you touched on a little bit, but during COVID, like you said, you're still creating, you know, how have you guys been making it work?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that we did, I mean, one of the best things we did was we happened to get just incredible new management during the pandemic. And so before we had signed up with them, we looked around at, well, we're making an album right now, Rockmaker, so we've got that to chip away at. And then I wanted to get something out immediately for the fans, so we released another previously unreleased project that we did called Toffel Music, and it's about a four-hour-long album. And so now it's called Toffel Music Means More When You're Alone, and that was a way for us to release sort of background music for the pandemic. For any, you know, setting up your new home office, homeschooling, cooking meals at home, you have this music in the background that you could listen to. So we put that out. And then once we signed up with new management, we brainstormed and just said, hey, let's just keep creating as much content as we can. So we've got Warhol Wednesday, which is where we put out a live track every week that our sound guy has been mixing in his little home studio. And we've got Seven Song Sundays, that's a playlist for the week that we put out. We've got Fast Driving Fridays, which are 30-second songs that we've been releasing every Friday. Monday's Metal Moment, where we recommend a heavy metal song to check out for the week. So we've just been having a lot of fun making these little really low pressure pieces of music for people to enjoy.
That is so, so cool. For people that don't know you, you know, the newbies now, why should people know you? How would you describe your sounds and what you guys are all about to new people?
Wow, God, that's a really good question. I mean, I think that one of the coolest things about us is how eclectic we are while still maintaining a sound that's undeniably the Dandy Warhols. Every album has such uniqueness that, you know, if you don't fall in love with one of our albums, you'll fall in love with one of our other albums. And I think that that's kind of nice. And also, if you're just getting into our music and start digging through our catalog, you will probably discover that you actually know quite a few more of our songs than you thought you did just from all of the cinema and TV that we've been part of over the years.
Awesome. Like what? Tell us a few of them.
Oh my God. Fleshed Away, Igby Goes Down, There's Something About Mary. You know, we used to be friends is the soundtrack for Veronica Mars. Yeah, there's just, we've been in so many movies over the years.
That's so good. Who are your influences?
I think we were pretty heavily influenced by the Velvet Underground, you know, a lot of the classic rock, CCR, Rolling Stones, the Kinks, Pink Floyd. And then also, you know, Spiritualized and Stereolab and The Verve and In Spiral Carpets. And there's so many bands of the 60s and 70s psych movement and of the early shoegaze movement. And then even some of the classic rock. I think that's what gives us such an eclectic feel as we pull our influences from so many places. But I think, you know, especially if you appreciate cannabis or the kind of musical vibe of a cannabis smoker, you would enjoy our music.
And 13 Tales, obviously everyone says that's your best. Do you think it's your best? Do you guys think it is? And why? Why do you think people think it's the best?
It's certainly our biggest. We've always really struggled with... So our music so oftentimes is reactionary to what's currently going on. So when you talked about like what music inspired us, also the music that we didn't really enjoy inspired us. And so coming out of where you couldn't get away from just hearing grunge music everywhere, we wanted to hear, you know, sexy psychedelic lounge music again. And so by always being reactionary, we rarely sort of fit the model of what people are wanting to put on the airwaves at that time. And Bohemian Like You and 13 Tales from Urban Bohemia just happened to be that time where we was somehow, our reaction to music was still very relevant to listen to for people. And I think that that's what helped make that album big. It's also when, you know, putting current bands in movies and TV and commercials became so popular that I think every track on that album was placed in something. And I think that that really helped get the word out about that record. And do I think it's our best? It's pretty good. I mean, it's up there. I have different favorites at different times. I mean, sometimes I think Real OK, our first album, is our best just because of its rawness and freshness. I really, really like Auditorium or Warlords of Mars. I think that that one really culminated everything that we learned from making all the previous albums. And I think that it will be remembered as really defining our sound. One of the albums that you can really go to get the idea of what it is we've been going for all these years. So sometimes that one's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. And what motivates you guys to keep going?
Good question, man. It certainly gets harder as you get older to, when you're younger, it's easy to make your band your life and everything else is peripheral. And as you get older, you start to, I think, need more balance and a little bit more of a stable home life and to be able to prioritize family sometimes. And so I think what keeps us going is just the magic that has been created over the years, or the synergy between the four of us. That is something that's impossible to recreate, I think. And really something that I don't think anyone looks forward to letting go of. Every time we get together and create, it still feels special for us. And I think that that's the piece that you have to maintain. Does it still feel inspiring and special and magical to create with the people that you're working with? And so far that hasn't died. And so we'll keep doing it.
That's nice. And that's rare. You don't hear that often.
It truly is. And I mean, I think that a lot of times you'll notice, say, there's been a band that was popular, but you didn't necessarily love them. But then after they've been around 25 years, you start to give them kind of this other type of respect, just for knowing, hey, you might not be my thing, but really impressed that you are a thing that has lasted for this long. And so we've reached that sort of heritage status, which is cool.
That's awesome. What do you attribute it to? Like anything?
You know, I think in relationships, it's really good to work through your differences, right? And I think that people spend a lot of time in their marriages trying to do exactly that. I think for our band to be successful, we did the exact opposite. And we went more for radical acceptance, and that you don't need to make sure that everyone knows what you think their problem is. You just say, you know what? It really doesn't matter what their problem is. I just want to keep making music. And you kind of just let the differences go and really focus on the part of the relationship that works. And for us, right? For musicians, that's making the music. So you don't sweat the small stuff, I think is probably the biggest lesson.
Cool. And what are you looking forward to after COVID is done? Will you guys like continue to play live together or any?
Yeah, I mean, I think unfortunately everyone realizes that our career will be one of the very last to come online. And, you know, knowing how long we're going to have to wait is really hard. But yeah, getting back out and being able to play live shows again. I mean, you know, I think we all probably dream about it. The biggest loss for us was we were preparing to perform with the Oregon Symphony and do a concert entirely supported with a symphony. And that was such a really surprising and beautiful addition to what we've done with our career. And to see that just evaporate was really hard. We had all started to really look for, I mean, tickets were on sale for the Portland one, and we were starting to look at other options around the planet of where the next ones would be. And yeah, that's going to be a big ball, a big rock to start pushing back uphill again soon.
You'll do it.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
And anything else you want to tell me? Did you tell me enough about Rockmaker?
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, we're slow, so there's no way I could even estimate a release date, but we are chipping away at an album. And, you know, we're really grateful to have something to do. And it'll come out when it comes out.
Well, we look forward to it. Thank I think you. That's great. Anything else you want to say? Or
No. Just, we're really excited about the event on the 30th, and we'll be chatting along with everyone else in the chat room portion. I think they've made me a moderator. I'm not exactly sure what my responsibility is with that. I think I just delete nasty comments. So hopefully I won't have much to do besides visit with everyone.
Well, you're a good speaker, so hopefully you'll moderator makes sense. Any New Year's plans?
Yeah, I have another project, August Darlings. That's me and this other beautiful and talented woman, Mae Arden. And we are performing for a fundraiser that brings yoga to prisons and to schools and to places where people could benefit from it but aren't always exposed to it. So we'll be playing psychedelic sound bath music over a yoga nidra class. And that's my very wholesome New Year's Eve plans.
Why do you think music is so important for people, especially times like this during COVID and all the crap that's going on? Why is it so important?
I think that music is one of the easiest ways to transport ourselves from one situation to another, or an escape from that situation. And we can go back to our music that comforts us, or we can find people that are just kind of singing about another time and a place that we'd rather be in. And I think that that's why people turn to music, and especially, I mean, people that are cooped up in their studio apartments and don't really have anywhere to go, you can go where the music takes you. And I think that it's not just valuable. I think it's crucial. I don't think we could live without that comfort and that escape.
Awesome. So good. All right, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you so much. Bye.
Take care.